Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, my friends. Second hour of this worldwide broadcast on this 27th day of July 2006. For the next 2 hours, Jim Mars is our guest. Now, we'll try to take calls later in the third hour, but please no calls in the first hour because we got a lot of different audio clips from the movie JFK, Director's Cut by Oliver Stone, in part mainly written by, of course, Jim Mars. Jim Mars has written for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He's been a crime reporter going back 30-plus years. He's written best-selling books on the Kennedy assassination, 9/11, you name it, and he was one of the principal writers and really consultants and designers of my favorite film, JFK, The Director's Cut. I want to be clear, my favorite film is not JFK. My favorite film is The Director's Cut. And joining us graciously is Jim Mars. Jim, good to have you on with us, sir.
Hey, Alex, it's always good to be with you.
Tell us, I mean, I've got your huge bio here, but just in a nutshell before we go to break and come back, tell us about Jim Mars, how Jim Mars, I mean, obviously you're a Fort Worth slash Dallas boy yourself, so uniquely placed to see all this. You were a reporter back when all this was going on. Break it down for us, you know, who Jim Mars is, what you've done, and how you worked on JFK, how you woke up to JFK being an inside job.
Okay, and my background is basically as an old print reporter. I got a degree in journalism from the University of North Texas. In fact, I was in the university at the time of the Kennedy assassination. In fact, I met Jack Ruby about a month before the assassination. Now, I have a picture of me as a young college guy dancing in Jack Ruby's club.
You liked those fast women.
Well, let me explain something here. I think everybody needs to understand that the Carousel Club at that time was one of two clubs. It was Abe's Collie Club and Jack Ruby's Carousel Clubs. These were known as after hours joint, okay? And yes, they had strippers, but they also had acts. I remember seeing a ventriloquist, and they would have a stand-up.
No, stadium. I understand. This was a nightclub.
Yeah, it was kind of a latter-day vaudeville.
Las Vegas style, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it was the place to go. Everybody went there that was looking for, you know, some entertainment after hours in Dallas. And including most of the Dallas Police Department, which they lied about for years. They tried to say, they didn't know them. But Jack Ruby knew and was on a first-name basis with probably half the Dallas Police Department.
Of course, he was really a bag man for the mob.
Absolutely. Stretching back to when he was just a youngster in Chicago and running messages for Al Capone. So it goes way back. Another thing that's important to understand is that back at that time, to be a Dallas cop, you had to be a pretty hard right-winger. You had to be a member of the John Birch Society or something, or the KKK. And most of those old boys, a lot of them were World War II vets, and they kept their connections to the military. They would augment their Dallas police pay by serving in National Guard and Army Reserve units, usually in MPs or criminal investigation. And so the ties into the U.S. military go really, really deep. Of course, when the assassination happened, I paid very close attention to that. That was the biggest story at the time. Today, with satellite, cable, computers, and iPods and everything else, people don't realize that at the time of the assassination, every major media was preempted. I mean, for almost a week, there was no programming. There was nothing but just constant round-the-clock coverage of the assassination. So this, of course, is what later caused problems for the conspirators because there was so much good information that was put out early on. And then, of course, it did not jive with the official version. I distinctly recall hearing tapes taken in Dealey Plaza, and it was clear that two of those shots went bam, bam, just very close together, and that was confirmed by witnesses I talked to there.
Well, stay there. I mean, because so you're a guy, you know, on the Dallas scene, in college as a journalist student in 1963 when this happens. Jim Mars, our guest. When we get back the next 2 hours, this is going to be unlike any other JFK coverage you've ever heard. It's here after a year in production and traveling to distant lands. My new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv. Hello, folks. Alex Jones here. You know Berkey water filters have been removing pathogenic bacteria for years. But what about those unhealthy chemicals and heavy metals in your water? The powerful black Berkey purification elements fit most gravity filters and dramatically increase their power to extract waterborne contaminants. Best of all, they filter much faster than ordinary gravity elements. This means it takes much less time to filter your water. Black Berkey elements not only remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites, but also remove trihalomethanes and volatile organic elements such as atrazine, benzene, chloride, and chloroform, MTBE, radon 222, foul taste and obnoxious odors like sulfur, even nitrates, and unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum are extracted. Supercharge your gravity filter today and order a two-pack of Black Berkey purification elements for only $96 or a four-pack for only $175 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Hey, Bill, I'm buying lunch today. And check this out. I bought a new car.
Wow, John, I guess you took my advice and visited that website we were talking about over lunch last time we met. www.didyourobbillgates.com.
I did, and you were right. I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. And it's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my fifth week.
Whoa, that's awesome. John, your business will keep growing as mine has. In fact, people are joining from all over the world. It's incredible.
Everyone should go to www.didyourobbillgates.com and learn how this program can help them become financially independent, too. Thanks a million, Bill, for telling me about www.didyourobbillgates.com.
Check, please.
I got this one, Bill.
Sure, John. Let's tell everyone about www.didyourobbillgates.com.
Deal.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, second segment of this hour with our guest, Jim Mars. Met Jim a few times over the years, read several of his great books. He's a best-selling author. He wrote the main book that JFK is based on. He was the main consultant for the film, for Oliver Stone, that released back in 91, 92. Now the director's cut is out, and again, it is my favorite movie. The director's cut is just heads above the original JFK that's in my top 10 favorite films, and it's so historically accurate. I mean, they did so much research on this film, and as a filmmaker myself, I realized how hard it would be to make a film like JFK, and during the making of the film, there was Jim Mars helping him during the writing of the screenplay, and even his daughters and his wife are in some scenes in the film, and now we're happy to hear those were actually cut from the final version, but are now back into the director's cut. So, Jim, we left off for those that just joined us. You're going to North Texas there. You're living near Dallas. You would go to Jack Ruby's nightclub yourself when you were a college student. You got a photo of yourself with Jack Ruby a few months before the 63 slang there in Dealey Plaza. Please continue, sir.
Right, and I also was a member of a fraternity, and some of the older fraternity brothers would tell me, and others, is if you want to get in a high-stakes poker game, go to Dallas and see a man named Jack Ruby. And then in the same breath, they would caution me and say, but hey, be careful, this guy's connected to the underworld. And that's another thing that your listeners need to understand. In 1963, certainly in Texas, most of us had never even heard the term mafia. We didn't know what the mafia was. And
Hoover had said a few years before it didn't exist.
Exactly. J. Edgar Hoover said there was no such thing, and of course now we know why he said that, because the mafia had incriminating photographs of him and it wearing his tutu or whatever, and so he was pretty much under the thumb of organized crime. Ruby, of course, had ties going back to Al Capone in Chicago. I also knew that Dallas was very tightly run by what was known as the Citizens Council, and this was among the high-ranking businessmen and politicos there in Dallas, including the mayor, Earl Cabell, whose brother, General Charles Cabell, had been fired by Kennedy in 1961 as a deputy director of the CIA, along with Allen Dulles, who then turned around and was appointed by Johnson to serve on the Warren Commission, kind of like putting the fox in charge of the hen house.
Exactly. And when we look at this, people always get confused. Well, wait a minute. Cubans, mafia, CIA, military intelligence, who did it? Individuals who haven't studied black op, black world, special warfare operations don't know. It's 101 that intelligence agencies contact and contract and pretty much work with, and in some cases are, organized crime as a kind of membrane or envelope.
Exactly, and all of that was documented back in the mid-70s by the Church Committee when they showed that the CIA and the mafia were working hand in glove to overthrow foreign governments and to assassinate foreign leaders. So all of this coalesced by 1963 in the secret war against Castro, which is known as Operation Mongoose, is run by General Edward Lansdale out of the Jim Wave Station on the University of Miami, and it involved anti-Castro Cubans that were then supported and coached by CIA operatives, and it also involved military people, and it also involved mafia people. I am still in contact with a CIA contract. It was finally briefed in December of 1960, and the whole thing was, Mr. President, this is a plan that was approved by the previous administration. It's going full bore. We're almost ready to move. And he said he was very reluctant, but he said, well, okay, we'll go on through with it. He said, but now I want you to keep this very quiet. I don't want anyone to realize that the U.S. is behind all this. And as the whole thing unfolded, of course, and poor Adlai Stevenson was in the United Nations telling the world that we had nothing to do with the Bay of Pigs invasion, and yet it became very obvious very quickly that this was nothing more than an attempt to regain Cuba for the special interests in this country, and that incensed him, and he began to realize that he was being lied to about a number of matters. And you're right, he fired Dulles, he fired Charles Cabell, and that's when I think they began to draw the battle line. The people of this country love Kennedy, and I, you know, there'll be arguments from now on over what kind of good president he may or may not have been. And of course, he lived his own lifestyle. He had his girlfriends along with Marilyn Monroe. But I think on balance, you'll find that John F. Kennedy was trying to make changes that were in the best interest of the public.
He was trying to actually be a leader. Clearly, his last 2 years in office, he made that shift. At first, he doubled funding for the military, cut taxes by half, which was really very conservative. He did a lot of things that seemed, on the surface to be actually very Republican, what paleo-conservatives should do, but on the civil rights issue and a few other things. Well, I mean, it's come out. He called the Russians up, and he said, look, there's going to be a coup here. You guys are being set up. You better back off. They actually believed him, got scared, and pulled back. And the globalists got very, very upset about that and blew his head off.
And that is the key point right there. The things he was doing towards the end of his life were in direct contradiction to what the globalists wanted. And that's the thing that got him killed. And when you go, you see their footprints all over it. You find out that it was Council on Foreign Relations men that actually got the Warren Commission created and presented that to Johnson.
Just like they set up the 9/11 Commission. In fact, let's do that next. You're going to be giving a speech coming up in Dallas on the 26th of August. We're honored to have you there. Give us a sneak peek at some of the issues you're going to cover from JFK to 9/11. That'll be the name of a speech he's going to give in Dallas coming up. You can see him there. Tickets are already available at InfoWars.com. Stay with us.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best kept secret in the world today is that now it is possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now, it's cancer's turn to die with Lay's Med Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star War technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.laysmedinc.com or call 702-953-0267.
Here it is, folks, the 2006 Red Book, the most comprehensive edition ever published. Midas Resources believes our clients should be as informed as possible. It includes the history of U.S. coins, the actual mintages, the grading standards. Learn the stability of real money. Protect yourself from fiat currencies. They are instruments of death. Feel the comfort and safety of real money. Midas will send you the 2006 Red Book and a genuine silver dollar for just $22.95 delivered. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237. Don't be lost in a sea of confusion. Get the 2006 Red Book. Help steer your own financial ship. Call Midas now, 1-800-686-2237.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of micropores filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
By now, it is no surprise that the U.S. ranks 37th in the world in occurrence of chronic illness, according to the World Health Organization. Due to modern farming and food processing practices, our food supply has become nutrition deficient, deficient in nutrients essential to good health. It is time to take back your health. Everyone has the right to good health. Join the self-reliant families, entrepreneurs, and the company pioneering cutting-edge glyconutrient technology. The wellness revolution is projected to be a $1 trillion industry by 2010. We are looking for people who are serious about bettering their lives and the lives of the people they love. Better health is possible. To learn more, go to therighttogoodhealth.com. You have the right to decide what is attainable in your lifetime. You have the right to build a healthy lifestyle that you can share with your friends and family. You have the right to achieve self-reliance and financial independence. And you have the right to good health. Visit therighttogoodhealth.com.
Coming up in the next segment, we're going to play some excerpts of Mr. X's discussion with Jim Garrison, who, of course, it's Peter Sutherland in the film talking to the main star of the film, Kevin Costner. And I want to spend a lot of time today talking about the making of that film because it gives you a bird's eye view into the incredible research that took place and, of course, the book that was written by Jim Mars that it's all based on. But, Jim, right now, the parallels between 9/11 and JFK.
Well, if the purpose of the masterminds behind the 9/11 attacks was to curtail American freedom, centralize more power in the federal government, and set back the social agenda of the United States in favor of an open-ended military intelligence buildup, then they succeeded admirably, okay? And to many people, such as myself, it all had a familiar ring to it. In many ways, the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks fits the same template as that of the assassination of President Kennedy in 1963. And here's how. Within hours, despite a lack of real evidence, one man was blamed for the event, along with hints that he was connected to foreign enemies. Official pronouncements were widely publicized, only to be later admitted to be errors. And although within the jurisdiction of the local authorities, the entire case was usurped by federal agencies, particularly FEMA and the FBI and the CIA, all agencies under the control of a president who benefited from the tragedy. A group of specialists, medical in the JFK's case, and some engineers in that of the World Trade Center were convened, but limited in what they could view and study, and blocked from conducting an objective probe by federal officials. Evidence in the case, both cases, was hastily removed and destroyed, forever lost to an impartial and meaningful investigation. More evidence was locked away in government files under the excuse of national security. Federal malfeasance was excused by claiming lack of manpower and resources. No one was disciplined or fired, and federal agency budgets were actually increased. Any alternative to the official version of events was decried as conspiracy theory or unpatriotic. And then the federal government used the event to increase its own centralized power. A foreign war, Vietnam in JFK's case, Iraq and Afghanistan today, which otherwise would probably have been opposed by the American public, was supported by a grieving population. A top government leader, LBJ then, now Bush, formerly under suspicion of election fraud, corrupt business dealings, was suddenly propelled to new heights of popularity. Many citizens knew or suspected that the official version of the events was incorrect, but were afraid to speak out, and a compliant and syncopatic mass media was content to parrot the official version of events and studiously avoided asking the hard questions that might have revealed the truth.
And then, Jim, if you look at who has the motive, it's the military-industrial complex and the bankers that own and control it in both events, and then you look at the evidence, they're the ones that carried it out. And now, shifting gears again, letting you finish up those great points you're making, I mean...
Well, here's two points that pretty well verifies that. In the case of JFK, Fourth Army intelligence, as a matter of routine, usually would have placed maybe 100 or more undercover military agents in the crowd along the parade route as additional security, and they would have seen that security in Dallas was tight. If they saw an open window, if they saw people standing on the Triple Underpass, they would have taken action. But they were told to stand down. Same thing on 9/11. On 9/11, we have a $400 billion defense system that suddenly failed systematically right down the line. And, of course, the reason on 9/11, as you are well aware, Alex, was because of the war game exercises that were scheduled for the morning of 9/11. But let me tell you two big differences between 9/11 and JFK's death. It took less than 10 days for LBJ to block any other investigations by creating the Warren Commission. But in the case of 9/11, it was almost 2 years before the 9/11 Commission was created, and largely because of foot-dragging and stalling by President Bush and Vice President
Well, that's Cheney. Because they learned that the Warren Commission report actually became more incriminating because of the thousands of lies in all those volumes, and so they didn't even want to have any fake investigation to begin with.
Exactly. And in the case of the Warren Commission, the report came out, was issued, as I recall, in late September of 64. And then a few months later, about November, December, they actually published and made public 26 volumes, 26 books full of their raw data. And, of course, it took researchers some time, even years, but eventually we found out that what was in their own published material did not support what their report said. But we got none of this in 9/11. It was all hidden away, and there was no raw data presented, just a report saying
Stay there, Jim.
Happened.
Stay there. But we're going to come back. We're going to play an excerpt of Mr. X, Fletcher Prouty, talking to Jim Garrison from the film JFK. We're going to talk about your involvement in that film. Then we'll get into what really happened to JFK on that day, the details.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com. Or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. Now available is the 2006 BioSolutions Plus. The BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Jim Mars, we're going to get back into JFK here in just a few moments, but before we do that, tell us about the book that you wrote that was the blueprint for the movie JFK. It's such an accomplishment. You know, your skills, your research are unparalleled. Tell us about that book, and then tell us about your 9/11 books and the new book that's coming out.
Right. Well, the book, of course, that dealt with the Kennedy assassination was entitled Crossfire, The Plot That Killed Kennedy. And basically, as you well know, Alex, it was simply a accumulation of all the information all put together under one cover. And this, of course, is what made it desirable for Oliver Stone. He had decided to personify his movie with the story of Jim Garrison, so he used Jim Garrison's book, On the Trail of the Assassins, about his prosecution of Clay Shaw in New Orleans. But for the actual details of the assassination, he used my book, Crossfire. And I was there through a good portion of the filming of the movie, and also would go to Dallas and read through the scripts and make notes. But here's something interesting, Alex, and I think you and your audience need to know this. Oliver Stone did not just take my book and run with it. He had an entire research staff headed by Jane Rusconi, and a very capable woman, and they backtracked on all my work. And they went back and even talked to some of the same witnesses. They looked at the same documents, And interestingly enough, they came to the same conclusions that I have.
Well, I want to be clear. I can't say too much on air, but some of my work is being looked at for a film similar to JFK in the way it's presented. And there's a team of seven people looking at everything I put out. And, of course, they've found it to all be accurate. And, in fact, found a lot of times it's worse than what I'm presenting.
Right.
Was that the case with them looking at your facts?
Yes, that's exactly what went on. For example, I'll give you a good example. Where a lot of people who especially were alive at the time know the story of Rufus Youngblood, the Secret Service agent that was assigned to Lyndon Johnson, who was riding in the front seat. And according to the official version, he leaped over the seat, threw himself on Lyndon Johnson, and protected him all the way to Parkland Hospital. When they started running the motorcade in Dallas for the Oliver Stone film, they had the Rufus Youngblood character leap over the seat and throw himself on Johnson. I went to Oliver Stone and told him that I had talked to Senator Ralph Yarborough, who was riding in the back seat with Johnson and Lady Bird Johnson, and he told me that that never happened. What actually happened was...
Johnson was on the radio.
Yeah, when the shooting actually started, that Youngblood leaned over the back seat with a handheld radio, and he and Johnson listened to this radio and monitored the frequency all the way to the hospital. And, of course, when I told Oliver Stone this, he had them stop Johnson, the Secret Service agent, from leaping over the seat. So that's the kind of input that we had going into this thing.
Yeah, talking to you the other night, then when we see JFK and now the director's cut that's even better with a lot of excise, the really powerful stuff got cut out by Warner Brothers, it's now back in. How much of it is 100% accurate from your research?
Now, number one, the first thing Oliver Stone ever said to me regarding JFK was he said, I want to make it clear, I am not making a documentary, I am making a movie. So you have to understand it is.
But I mean, the general facts, though, are really based on the best info.
Right. And now some of the characters are composite. Some of the time frames have been compressed for the sake of getting a movie together in a coherent form. But as far as the overall facts, the overall truth is presented, I will definitely say this. The movie JFK is the closest that we've come yet to finding out the truth of the Kennedy assassination.
Here's an example. We've got a clip from the documentary Beyond Conspiracy that was made about the film that you and others have said is really overall with the facts better than the film, and it's available on the same director's cut DVD, and it's clip number 16, Network. It's Dean Andrews and Garrison. Dean speaks right ta-ta, wrong ho-ho. Tell us about this clip before we play it. Just an example of how incredibly accurate.
The character of Dean Andrews, a New Orleans attorney who was contacted by Clay Bertram and asked to go to Dallas to represent Oswald, is played by John Candy, the Saturday Night Live star. And he's jive-talking, and he says, yeah, he got the right ha-ha, but the wrong ho-ho. And it just sounds, and a lot of people go, oh, that's ridiculous. But in Beyond Conspiracy, they have a filmed interview with Dean Andrews, and the words that John Candy spoke are exactly his words.
Let's go ahead and play clip 16. Here it is.
While conducting his investigation, Jim ran across in the Warren Commission volumes an interview with Dean Andrews. Jim happened to know him because they'd attended law school together at Tulane. On Saturday, the day after the assassination of President Kennedy, Andrews had received a strange phone call from a man named Clay Bertrand asking him, Andrews, to go to Dallas to represent Lee Harvey Oswald as his attorney.
Well, Clay Bertrand, whoever the real man might be, as one of the participants in the assassination, and a man named Dean Andrews is protecting him by not giving his real name. I decided I wanted his real name. So I set up a meeting at lunch.
Well, I don't know what he's up to. He's picking me like chicken, shucking me like corn, stewing me like an oyster. I mean, he ain't putting nothing down but that.
Dean, are you trying to tell me that you received a call from Clay Bertrand, who was a client of yours, but you don't know what he looks like because you've never seen him, and he'd say, scout on him, my man.
He's got the right ta-ta, but the wrong ho-ho.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to call you into the grand jury, and I spoke some of his language, so to speak. I said, now, when you dance into the grand jury, you'd better lay the truth on them, or else you are going to be indicted and go to trial for perjury. We tried them, and the jury found them guilty.
So that clip we hear there, that is the real Dean Andrews, and if you compare it to the film, it's exactly the same person. Incredible job.
Exactly. And the same thing with one of the key witnesses to the assassination, Jean Hill. The lady that played Jean Hill in the movie, when she speaks her lines and says, "Hey, Mr. President, look over here," and they shot him, and look, there's somebody up on the knoll. Everything they show is exactly what Jean Hill has said from the time of the assassination up until her death just a few years ago.
Well, I talked to Madeline Duncan Brown before she died. I interviewed her several times on the radio. You've interviewed her. She was interviewed for this national televised documentary. Blood test DNA was done on her son, who later died of cancer. Clearly LBJ's son. None of that has been denied. When I would do shows about this, the radio station would get hopping mad phone calls from you can believe who, but nothing, you can guess who, but nothing ever came of it. But we have her at the meetings there visiting with LBJ up in Dallas and then back at the Driscoll, his mistress, where he's bragging about how he had Kennedy killed. And then at the very same time, now we have LBJ's lawyer, who, of course, was the father of Scott McClellan, Barr McClellan, and the ex-husband of the lady currently running for governor here in Texas, whatever her name is this week, Strayhorn. So having those two individuals go public about LBJ saying he had JFK killed, I mean, how strong is that?
Well, it probably would have been enough to get him convicted in a court of law if there had been any legal proceedings. Keep in mind, Jim Garrison, who has been vilified and is still being vilified by certain sections of the mass media for clutching at straws and just trying to aggrandize himself, he is the only public official who tried to bring legal action in the case of the Kennedy assassination.
But in hindsight, this is an incredible veteran of World War II, Marine Corps rescue pilot. Former FBI agent. And in hindsight, it turns out that with limited resources, he did an incredible job.
He actually did. He really began to crack into the assassination, and that's why they had to take unprecedented steps to suppress his information and to try to somehow or another compromise him. That, of course, is, we mentioned the other day, there's a scene that was cut from the initial movie JFK, but it's been
They don't say in the film what it is, but he's at the airport. One of his former FBI guys that works for him, that one of his other employees is telling him is setting him up, who we know is setting him up. He comes up and says, "They're going to kill you. You got to go with me and these men." They were probably going to kill him right then. And he says, "No way." So he goes to the bathroom, he uses the toilet, and then they send a homosexual in, and then he figures it out and runs out as the police all come running in. But in the film, they don't spell that out. In fact, it wasn't even clear to me, but that was based on a true story. Tell us about it.
Well, that's true. You just pretty well outlined it. I think by this time they were trying to nullify Jim Garrison. They would have killed him if they thought they could get away with it, but he was too public by this time, and the whole eyes of the world were on him. So what they did was, on one of his trips, they planted a known homosexual in the bathroom. They were going to try to catch them in a compromising situation and then arrest him and hold him up as a homosexual, which, of course, today doesn't mean much, but back then would have been the death knell for him.
And of course,
career.
It makes sense, because the real CIA team in New Orleans was a homosexual gang, just like the Bush administration. And I'm not even here bashing these people, folks. I'm telling you, they do this to compromise each other. And many power sectors, going back 100 years in this country, are homosexual gangs. And Oliver Stone covers that in the film, doesn't he?
Well, he alludes to that. Yeah, like you said, I don't know if he actually just comes out and says, "Here, look at this." But it's just like in the scene in the airport where the homosexual runs out of the bathroom after Garrison. He's going, "But darling, come back," something like that. They were trying to get him, but Jim realized the trap and just fled the scene.
And meanwhile, before the cops could get there, here come 20 cops running in right after he runs out.
Exactly, and they were all hovering, just waiting to take care of him. And see, that's the thing people have to understand. In the Kennedy assassination, 9/11, I'm sure, is the same thing. You don't have just one or two or three people who are in on the plot. You've got a bunch of people, but all of them are in highly compartmentalized. They only do what they're told. They only know they're small.
And I love how they bring one of his deputies over to him, one of his former FBI lawyers that works for him, in a parking lot. They shove him in violently into a corner, and they go, of course, Lee Harvey didn't do it. It was the Soviets. And if this comes out, it's going to be World War III. Now, you've got to work with us. And he says, no, and they ram him up against the wall, and he goes ahead and flips. See, they also use twisted disinfo.
Right. Plus, they use threats. I mean, they will threaten not only you, but if you stand up to the threats, then they'll threaten your family, just like they did H. Ross Perot.
Well, yeah, it's happened to me, too. Let's go back, though. Who was that particular individual in history that was really one of their operatives inside Garrison's operation?
Well, that was Bill Boxley, I believe, was his actual name, and they called him Bill Brizard in the movie. Garrison's investigation was thoroughly penetrated. They had all kinds of people, young people, showing up to volunteer to help him. And then in the process, they looted his files. They made copies of everything. They bugged his offices. And this was the FBI, okay? So not only, and this is one of the things that really got Jim Garrison, because as you mentioned, he was a former pilot in the war. He was a former FBI agent. And a public service. He really believed in America, and it never crossed his mind early on that the government in the form of the FBI would actually be blocking him and working against him. And I think the same thing could be said for John F. Kennedy. I mean, he kind of knew what was going on, and he knew there were powerful factions arrayed against him, but I think in his deepest, darkest paranoia, I don't think he really understood that people within the government would actually kill the chief and present the public of this country with a coup d'etat.
Later we're going to play the Mr. X clip and several others based on Fletcher Prouty, but first I want to play clip 18. This is with Mars and Madeline Duncan Brown on Cronkite on the LBJ, quote, conspiracy stuff. And this is from the documentary Beyond Conspiracy, the companion to JFK, the movie. Go ahead and roll it.
Theory number two contends that Texas oilmen, fed up with Kennedy's threats to their oil depletion tax breaks and defense contracts, funded the triggermen. Madeline Brown knew these oil barons and witnessed their deep resentment of the Kennedys.
H.L. Hunt was passing out several days prior to the assassination, the wanted for treason. And I told him at the time, I said, H.L., you're going to get yourself in trouble. You cannot do the President of the United States that way. And he said, he remarked, the hell I can. I'm the richest man in the world, and I never get in trouble.
Madeline Brown may have had a unique vantage point into the world of Texas politics. She claims to have had a long affair and a son with Lyndon Johnson.
I have double-checked on that. There are documents. There's letters from Johnson's lawyers. Plus, I had checked with friends of mine in the press corps who had followed Johnson on the campaign trail, and they all just grinned and say, oh, yeah, Madeline Brown. It was an open secret.
Brown remembers Johnson fondly.
He was wonderful. He was as powerful in the bed, you might say, as he was in politics.
Brown says she once asked her lover what he knew about the Kennedy assassination.
I'd met him on New Year's, following the assassination, New Year's Eve. And I said, Lyndon, I said, people in Dallas are talking that you had something to do with the assassination. And he became very, very violently angry. And at that time, though, he did tell me it was the oil people that I knew here in Dallas and the CIA. And he slammed the door after he told me that he'd said too much to me. And, of course, my body went to, like, number 10 on a Richter scale. I couldn't believe that all of it was so ugly.
In 1969, Lyndon Johnson surprised Walter Cronkite with his own doubts about the Warren Commission.
He kind of mused, almost sotto voce, said, but on the other hand, you know, I've always thought, you know, there could have been a conspiracy there.
After reviewing the interview transcript, Johnson insisted his conspiracy remarks be deleted on the grounds of national security.
He was so persuasive and put such pressure on Bill Paley, the president of the network, that we abandoned that quote, didn't use it, which makes me feel that it was even more important.
All right, so there's that clip. And, of course, by then he had more heart attacks. He was getting ready to die. He was against the war. He was starting to apologize for it. So these people start to slip up. We see this a lot, which is why the globalists tend to kill a lot of top New World Order minions when they get sick or when they get old, if they start shooting their mouths off. There's a lot of questions about that with LBJ. Jim, you want to comment on that?
Well, that's true. And LBJ got very paranoid, and he was having trouble sleeping, and he told people he was having these dreams of bombers coming over and bombing him. I think it was the guilt that he carried of the knowledge of the Kennedy assassination. Another good instance was that...
Yeah, you can't do this if you've got passion and any soul left. Now, of course, there are globalists who love it and nothing hurts them, but, yeah, but clearly this destroyed LBJ.
Exactly. He came from a poor background, and even though he caved in, sold out, everything else, I think he still retained some of his humanity. I was going to mention his brother, Sam Houston Johnson, contacted him after the 64 election and said, Lyndon, I'm, you know, sorry I didn't help you more. And he said, that's okay, we won anyway, and I really appreciate your help. And just
tell us on the other side. Tell us on the other side. Recap it. We'll finish up there. A bunch of other clips, more with Jim Mars. Stay with us. This is riveting.
Year after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film Terror Storm is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Coming up in the next hour, we'll play excerpts of Jim Garrison's summation speech, one of the most powerful that I've read in human history. And this is I've read a lot of famous summation speeches in prosecutions or in legislative debates, closing arguments. And we'll also play some excerpts of Fletcher Prouty and get Jim's incredible research on that. Grab your pens and paper, because in a few minutes I'm going to demand. I asked him earlier. He really didn't plug himself to get Jim to tell you about his new book that's coming out. Just an incredible writer. We're going to start carrying all of his books here. Now, this man is just amazing. The more of his books I read when I have time to read them, my only problem is they're just so well-written, so well-researched. Here's a clip, though, from the documentary about the JFK film. This is Mars talking about the strongest motive in self-defense for JFK is that the CIA, he said, was going to be in 1,000 pieces. Here it is.
We intend to profit from this lesson. We intend to re-examine and reorient our forces of all kinds.
If the Cubans saw Kennedy as their enemy, JFK began to see the CIA as his.
Later on, there was a newspaper headline, the New York Times, a subheadline, Kennedy Bitterness, which quoted Kennedy as saying, I'm going to take the CIA, break into 1,000 pieces, and cast the pieces into the winds. They were finished.
The strongest motive to kill somebody is self-defense. And these intelligence officers were the same intelligence officers who had been participating in plots to assassinate Castro, Lumumba, the Diem brothers, Papa Doc Duvalier, world leaders that they didn't agree with all around the country, all around the world. So is it any stretch of the imagination that in their fear and in self-defense that they simply sent their hit squads to Dallas?
Now, that's what it comes down to. And you look at these CIA chiefs. These are the people involved bringing heroin and cocaine into this country, involved in organized crime. These are bad, bad people. Do you think Kennedy was a little bit naive, or do you just think he had amazing courage and thought that he could handle it, overconfident, Jim Mars?
I think a little bit of both. I think that he, in fact, that actually probably was the key point that got him killed. He truly believed he was president of the United States.
Well, he told the Russians a year before he was killed that there could be a coup. I think he should have gone public with that, and that would have nixed it.
Right. But, see, he was still naive enough to think that the system works. There's people I'm in touch with right now who still believe if they could just get to the right grand jury or to the right congressional committee that everything would be straightened out. But, of course, it hasn't, and it's not.
Jim, before we go any further, tell us about your last couple of books and the new one coming out that I hear is a humdinger.
Yeah. Of course, after Crossfire, I asked everybody, what do you think is the next big deep, dark, secret government cover-up? And almost unanimously, people said, well, I'd really like to know what's the real truth about the UFO situation. So I began to go back in and begin to research UFOs, and that led me to the Army's remote viewing experiments and studies and their remote viewing unit. And I wrote a book on that, but it got suppressed. They canceled it at the last minute. And then just a few weeks later, the CIA issued a press release admitting that they had been doing remote viewing, but they didn't. They said, we didn't get very much use out of it.
And tell us about your current book that's coming out.
Okay, the current book now is The Terra Conspiracy, and it will be out on bookshelves by the first week in September.
That's being put out by Disinformation.
That's right. And this one is is probably everything that you've talked about. Alex, this not only deals with the questions, inconsistencies, improbabilities of 9/11, but puts it into a wider context.
Okay, so we've got the Terror Conspiracy coming out. We'll tell you more about that, folks, before Jim leaves us in the next hour. Before we end this hour, in the next 30 seconds, Jim will be in Dallas giving a speech when I premiere Terror Storm on August 26th at the Lakewood Theater in Central Dallas. 700 tickets available, and they're going fast right now, available at Infowars.com. You can get them online right there. It's the only place that they're going to be available. I might try to work something out where you can call the toll-free line in the next few days, and then we'll mail you a ticket, but we can only do that for a few weeks. So get your tickets online right now. I don't think we're going to reserve any for the door, so that's the one way to get them. Get them right now at Infowars.com.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared, but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government,
gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.